Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their big drums.
How to go deep with Jesus. And that actually comes to us out of Luke chapter 17, verse 21. And in Luke 17, 21, there's a discussion that the Pharisees are having with Jesus about his messiahship and him appearing. And he says, look, the kingdom of God is not something you observe. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, when he makes those statements of going out and the kingdom is within you, we start seeing a rhythm that is being given to you and I. So each one of you, right now, either have the Lord telling you to go out and love people well or to come near him so that he can love you well. And knowing that rhythm is really important in your walk with the Lord. Now, that's just what we call the flow of God's grace in your life. The foundation to sustain the flow of God's grace is what we're going to look at, and it's called identity in Christ. So I believe once you understand who you are in Christ, as I've talked with you guys for months on, I believe that this rhythm becomes something that you enjoy instead of resisting as God's doing it, because you understand his love towards you. So there are five different ways that identity is talked about, or what we call categories of identity, in the Old and the New Testament that God wants you to know how he relates to you. So the first one is this. God has actually called you into relationship with him. Now, most people see that as salvation. God has called me to be saved. And that actually is true. But that's not the only part of relationship that he's having with you. You've gone from a state of the wrath of God resting on you to being adopted and accepted by him. In fact, I'm not going to teach on justification, but just give you a glimpse of it. It means that God has chosen that when you come into Christ, he's never going to not look at you without having favor towards you. Now, that's just the basic concept, and yet there are just scripture after scripture that tries to what we call ground you in the love of God by God telling you, this is how I see you in my sight. This is how I relate to you. And it is good. The next category of identity in Christ comes in this thing called inheritance. So, you know, when we talk about inheritance, and I talked about this last month if you were with us, I said that most people look at inheritance as, well, in my understanding, I die and then I inherit the kingdom of God. Well, the Bible doesn't use inheritance that way. It's actually considered what is called an allotment of blessing. So when you come into Christ, there's an allotment that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit set apart for you to intentionally bless you your whole entire life. The next area that we have is we have transformation. The next category of identity is transformation. So God has not only ordained you to be in relationship with him, it's not what we call a passive relationship. What do I mean by that? If you guys ever been in relationships with people, you know there are some people that you relate to. They're looking at their phone, they're not listening to you, and there's no relationship dynamic, even though they're in proximity of you. That's not the way that God describes his relationship with you. God's not asleep on the inside of you. He's not paying attention, and he's not far off. He's in you, he's active, and he's powerful. And so he transforms you by being in relationship with him. And this is another expression of what we call the depth of understanding God's love and being in Christ. The fourth category that we have is actually what we would call, position. You have a position in Christ. So God begins to tell you, okay, now I call you to relationship, but now, when you come to me, now that my son is living inside of you, your position in the world changes. All of creation recognizes you differently now that you're in Christ. I find this fun to realize that I think pretty much up until the moment before we die, I think 30 seconds before we pass from this side to eternity, we finally realize who we are, even though the rest of creation has already known who we were. You guys ever have the Bible just talking to you, you're this, and it's like, no, I don't see myself that way. I see myself as being Jewish, or I see myself as being Italian, or I see myself as living in Colorado Springs. Or we look at ourselves based on our surrounding or our opinion or our family instead of this newness in Christ. And then the last one is what we call a calling. God has called you, not into full-time ministry or not full-time ministry. God has called you to represent him in the world. It's almost like a position, but it's a specific calling. There are terms and phrases that God wants you to understand. Because you're in Christ, you're going to represent Jesus. And since Jesus was like the salt of the earth, you're going to be the salt of the earth. And since Jesus was like the light of the world, you're going to be like the light of the world. And he wants you to understand this so that the world that you live in makes sense because of this identity that you're in. Now today, I'm going to go specifically right into the category of inheritance, and this is what we're going to look at in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and it's actually Paul is beginning a process of a prayer here. By the way, I think if you guys ever take time to just study different books in the Bible, one of the best books to understand God's view of what the church is to be like comes from the book of Ephesians. We see the what we call the government of God being explained to us, who you are in that government, the leaderships that God's given, which are servant-oriented, and then it ends up by saying not only has God called you to be his government, you actually have authority over the kingdom of darkness. That's how Paul ends the book. And here, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul is now doing as he always does. He's coming and saying, before I begin to talk with you, I'm going to pray for you. And this is the prayer. Now, it's amazing. Even though this is a prayer, your identity is being revealed to you and I through this prayer that Paul is praying. So let's read it now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, what are we finding out about our identity here? Even though we're unique, God has made all of us unique, we are in what we call the commonwealth or the community of the body of Christ, and since we are, there is no distinction of his favor towards any one of you in this room. All the blessings that God has in heaven, they're yours. Now, that actually should excite you, just hearing that, but we're going to actually dig a little deeper and say, well, what does that actually mean that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ? And I think it's very important that we understand that. So very specifically, where it says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, I'm going to take that word and we're going to start our adventure of looking at this scripture. There are several words that are used for blessing, even though it's translated bless or blessing in the English language. You see that some of this in when we look at the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, when Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, that word actually means happy or full of joy. This word for blessing is not that word. It actually means something completely different. So let me see if I can state it clearly. And it means to confer benefits upon you. So here it says, he has blessed us by conferring upon us. Now, it's interesting. The word here is it's two words pulled together in the Greek New Testament. And the first one of the words is the word logos. So it actually means that when God confers a blessing upon you, what Paul is praying for you is that God would speak a blessing over you. Or that all spiritual blessings come by God speaking to you then. And so he's actually, in a sense, this prayer that he's praying for the church in Ephesians reflects something that you and I need to understand about what God is doing in our life today. God is intentionally trying to create for you to learn how to become a receiver of blessing. It's almost hard to say that to a group of people. This is why when we talk about identity in Christ, a lot of us struggle with is because what God is saying about who we are and what he's willing to do almost sounds too good to be true. And if you guys are like I am, I look at myself and say, well, I'm such a mess. How could God do this for me? Now, this is very important. God releases his nature and his character by blessing you, and it's not dependent on how well you live up to the law, but of who you are in Christ. And so, if you guys are like, well, this week I'm not going to get any spiritual blessings because I didn't live up to what I should have. But if you've walked with the Lord long enough, you realize some of your worst weeks is when you experience more blessing than some of your best weeks. Because it's based on the nature of who God is and what he has done for you and who he calls you in him. Now, isn't that incredible to think that before God's throne, God looks at you completely different than the way most of us look at ourselves. And he sees you as the attention of his blessing, and he distributes it consistently to you to overwhelm you and convince you of one thing. So what is that one thing? What is God intentionally pursuing for you and you being in Christ? It's his love. He's trying to convince you that it doesn't matter what you go through, it doesn't matter what circumstances you face, it doesn't matter if you're sick or healthy, poor or rich, it doesn't matter. You're a child that has consistently been set apart to have the affection and the love of God expressed to you. So God's blessing is a conferred, it is spoken to you and I. And so we have to learn to become people that receive it from him. And it comes by him speaking. Now let's take this word heavenly. Let's keep going on. It says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, if you guys are like, I am, I read that passage, I think they're talking about heaven, right? Heavenly places. But the word here for heaven doesn't mean a place, it means an atmosphere. So when God confers something on you, or when God wants to bless you, he brings the atmosphere of what is going on in heaven, and he brings it into your time and into your situation, and that atmosphere is around you until that blessing is satisfied in you. And so I'm always trying to figure out, how do I get up into heaven to get my spiritual blessings? And God said, no, that's not the way it works. It's like a rainstorm. You stand there and let me pour it on you. I'm the one that's the source of the water. You just open your mouth and receive and stay in the storm and stop trying to run out of the storm. Now, the good thing is that since it's God who dumps the blessing on you, you really actually can't run away from it. Isn't that good to know? God's actually pursuing you with this. Now, let's look at another word. It says spiritual blessings. Now, why is it saying that, or why is it giving us that distinction? And, you know, I look at these scriptures, and I'm trying to figure out, so why in Paul's mind, God is directing him to do this, why is he not just saying blessings in the heavenly realm? Why is he saying spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm? He's trying to show how what we call the order of the universe takes place. The order, or the law of the universe, from God's nature, how this works. Anything that God wants to bring forth in your life, whether it's materialistically or relationally or anything, it always starts in the same place, in the Spirit. And so what that means is, as people that have been created in the image of God, the first thing that God has created you and I to learn to live by is this concept of understanding where the source of things come from and learning to live and draw from that reality. And back to the concept that I was talking about being a receiver. Now, isn't it interesting? You have what we call paradoxical statements in the New Testament. Sometimes the Bible tells you, pursue. Other times the Bible says, receive. Well, which one is it? It's actually both if you understand how it works. Now let's take your life and as it is right now. How does this actually come about in your life? How does God get you to a place, if you don't know this is for you, how does he motivate you so that he can dump this on you? That's a good question, right? Is it just random? God just randomly does this to you? Or is there some way that he involves you in this process so that you can recognize it? See, I think God is loving us now And a lot of us don't see it or recognize it, and so we're missing a step of joy that God's trying to release inside of us. So he wants us to recognize this. So how does God do this? Do you guys ever watch each other? Like, you come to church and you hang out with each other and you watch each other because you live amongst each other. And do you ever see a brother or sister in the body of Christ and they get blessed and you don't, and it irritates you? Any of you ever have that experience? I mean, I have one person left, but have any of you ever had that experience? Now, I don't know if I'm supposed to get you to admit it, but do you ever watch someone and you think, why am I not being blessed like that person? Does that ever go through any of your guys' minds?
Yeah.
Okay, so this section of the room it does. Good. All right. So I'll come over here and talk to this group. So now think about that. Is that wrong to long for something in the kingdom of God? I think sometimes because of not understanding who God says we are and what he wants us to do, and this idea of pursuit and receive, is sometimes it's like we just settle. And the settling isn't actually in Christ and what he fully wants to give us. It's settling for less than what he wants us to be and to receive. In our mind, we actually come into what we call a pauper or a slave mentality, even though you're royalty. And so Paul actually, for years, I couldn't understand why God would let me watch someone get blessed, and then I'd go home being frustrated, and then I'd find myself praying about it. And not only would God talk to me about growing up, he'd say, well, do you actually want that blessing too? And I never understood that pattern. And I'm reading through the book of Romans, and I come to a passage where Paul says, well, look, my apostolic ministry that God has given me is to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Okay, now, God wants to make you jealous. Now, please, let's understand something about the word jealousy. This isn't high school relationships and trying to manipulate people and acting goofy. That's not what the word jealousy means in the scripture. It means a drawing to the best of something. Okay? So what God does is when he blesses another person and you become jealous, he has released a longing in you because it's a good thing that you want things from Christ. He releases a jealousy or a longing in you for something better so that you will pursue it so that you can receive it.
That's good.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so I used to sit around and repent of always being jealous of other believers, and this can get silly. Trust me, this can go in immature ways too. But really, if you guys watch God bless a person, that's an expression of the goodness of God. And we just found out here in Ephesians that all of this is available to us. And so sometimes when God wants to bring us in proximity so that we know he's actually for us, he creates a longing in us to pursue him for this stuff. So there's something amazing about the God that we serve. He, by nature, is miraculous. He doesn't do miracles, he brings forth miracles because he himself is miraculous. You and I have been called to relate to him. Every time God creates a longing inside of you, us, me and you, is so that he can express his miraculous intervention and blessing in our lives. And we're supposed to get accustomed to that kind of intervention. When I was a young boy, we didn't go to church when I was growing up. I was part of an atheistic family. And so on Sunday morning, when everyone else got up to go to church, I got up to watch Bugs Bunny. And I had to get up early. And I remember the days of three stations?
Yeah.
And PBS and all that fun stuff. And so, and I remember the first television we had, it had this really weird knob on it. It kind of was hollow, and the lights flashed. You guys remember that? This is really aged,
yes,
when I'm telling this kind of stuff. And it was in our basement. We only had one TV. It was in our basement. So I'd have to wake up early on Sunday and try to get past my parents' door by crawling as slow as I could so that if I made it into the living room, I could run downstairs real fast and turn on the TV up to its lowest volume so I could watch Bugs Bunny. Now, lo and behold, I woke up so early that every Sunday, I'd turn on the TV and I'd have to watch Oral Roberts. and I'm a young dude. I mean, I'm what, 5'6" or 5'7" or something like that. And every time, in fact, I was so excited about seeing Bugs Bunny, but always frustrated that I had to watch this guy called Oral Roberts. Just had no concept. The only thing I couldn't figure out is I'm like 6 or 7. I'm trying to figure out why he's always crying when he talks about a guy that died 2,000 years ago. I was always amazed, like, why is he always crying? But they had this theme song. And it was part of Oral Roberts' message. And it's something about our identity that God is saying to us in this passage. And it was the last song they would sing before they ended the program. Something good is going to happen to you. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys actually watched the program. And so that's how they finished the program. And he was always telling the audience, expect a miracle from God. Expect a miracle from God. Now, a lot of people have a really negative attitude towards certain evangelists and television evangelists and stuff, but the concept is biblical. He's saying, don't just expect nothing from God, or don't expect the worst, or just crumbs. Expect a miracle from God. And he was trying to teach identity through those songs and him crying and that thing he did before I watched Bugs Bunny, and he's reaffirming what we're being taught here in Ephesians. Now, one last thing. When we come to the Old Testament, here we have this passage telling us this is what we should expect. Do we see God actually demonstrating that through history with his people? We actually do. I'm fascinated by what we would call the goodness of God with the people of God. And what I mean by that is, every time you don't expect God to be merciful or you don't expect God to show love, he just shocks you by doing it. One of the most interesting stories, I believe, in the Bible is when God was pulling the nation of Israel out of Egypt and teaching them to become his covenant people. And the constant avalanche of miraculous blessing and how they actually got used to it and then discarded it. Now, I don't know if I actually want us to be the same way as them, but I really like us as a body of Christ to get used to actually expecting miracles. Remember, could you imagine? I always laugh at them, not because I used to think they were just immature, but now I realize we're all in the same boat. So I laugh at them now thinking, well, at least I didn't have to go through that. Do you guys remember? He has hit a cloud of his glory, following them during the day so they don't get sunburned and die in the heat. And he has a pillar of fire at night. And could you imagine every day looking at this miraculous stuff, and then you get to go out, you don't even have to pay for your food, God just drops it on you. I mean, could you imagine living life like that? And then what God does is he says, well, I'm not going to make you just stay there. I'm going to take you on a little adventure, and you're going to walk around, and we're going to go to things. And every one of those places I'm going to go, I'm going to show you a different miracle. I mean, and you guys get it? They got disgusted with God over that. Now, I always sit back and ask myself this question. If this is who God is, why would I get disgusted with that? Because they kept focusing on what God was doing instead of what God was showing about himself. It's like, okay, now we're getting kind of sick of the manna. Can we have something different? So he actually gives them something different. Then they say, we're sick of these birds. Give us something different. And he's doing it all miraculously. Now, I have to admit, after eating rice in Africa for 3 weeks straight, I got kind of sick of it. So I do get the idea that you can get sick of food. But I don't think it was as bland as rice was. And this idea that they had where God was actually exceeding what they understood because he was revealing himself to his people. Now, a lot of people believe, well, that was a certain time that God did that. But his nature has not changed. The God that parted the sea and the burning bush and then spoke to people and did all these things is the person you're relating to today, and he wants you to relate to him the way that he is. And the way that he is he wants you to expect him to bring miraculous blessing in every area of your life. Let's pray. Well, we want to first start by acknowledging how awesome you are. You are awesome. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you that this was what you eternally decided before you even created all of us, that you would relate to us this way and show yourself as a good God. Now, Father, would you come and create a stirring and a longing for what is what you want to give us? It's not just about possessing. It's something greater than that. It's an awakening that you're trying to create inside of us. A people that know you, love you, and walk with you. And just like you did with Paul and Timothy, he asked that you would stir up the gift that was imparted to him. I ask, Lord, that you would stir up an expectation inside of us by your very presence. Release the power of your love inside of our hearts and cause us to be nourished by it, rooted, and grounded in it. And I just thank you for your goodness, O Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.